Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Artificial intelligence, what once felt like a ways off into the future, is now a growing part of our lives. Whether it's asking Alexa to place an online order or using ChatGPT to generate conversations, more and more people are using this technology on a daily basis. But it also remains controversial, with concerns over privacy, biases, plagiarism, and misinformation. And as with many new technologies, it is still unknown how using AI will impact us in the long run, particularly children who are being introduced at a younger age. A new study launched by Chico State seeks to determine what that existing research landscape looks like. Here to talk more about it is Dr. Abbas Adarwala. He is the study's lead investigator and an associate professor of computer science at Chico State. Welcome to Insight. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Vicky. First of all, thank you so much for having me on your show today. And I also like to thank Sarit and Aram as well for this. Thank you.
Yes, the whole Insight team. We're a small but mighty team here at Insight. So let's get into your study. What got you interested in studying artificial intelligence and its impact specifically on children?
So first of all, that's a great question, Vicky. And so what really got me interested was this idea where I was interested in understanding kind of the multifaceted impact of AI on children's social and cognitive development. And that's something that was really, really close to me just because, you know, I've got two boys now. And, you know, I see sometimes when they're interacting with AI, if not really explicitly, at least implicitly, when they turn on the iPad and they are just navigating some videos on YouTube, and I can see there's an AI working in the background to recommend videos to my children. And as I was thinking about these things, you know, from my research perspective, I started to think a little bit more closely on how I can identify AI technologies that can support educational and developmental objectives for our children. And also at the same time, you know, look at some potential negative consequences or risk that can be associated with it, and what I can do and what researchers can do to actually mitigate them. And so that's kind of the overarching, you know, thing that got me interested in this in the first place.
You know, people may not be realizing, you know, when they hop on their smartphone that they're interacting with an AI tool. So what tools are you specifically looking at? I think off the top of my head, like Alexa or ChatGPT has been growing, you know, in awareness in recent years.
Yeah, so I'm kind of looking at a wide spectrum of tools right now. ChatGPT definitely happens to be right at the forefront just because of all that media and all that exposure that has received over the last few months. But I'm also looking at tools that are AI assistive technologies that can actually help our children that have special needs. And children that potentially, let's say, has autism, and, you know, how AI assistive technology can actually help children with autism, you know, and I've seen some research that has talked about, you know, how it can be used to detect social cues that children with autism might have a little bit difficulty in comprehending. And these tools can really are very, very promising in that spectrum for our children with autism.
So that is a benefit on the one arm. What are some of the concerns that you're looking into when it comes to AI and how it can impact children?
So one of the concerns I've seen is, you know, these AI models and these algorithms are not actually neutral. They happen to have inside them biases. And these biases could simply be because of the training data that was used in constructing these AI models. And these biases could be just because of historical or societal biases that has prevailed for a long period of time and now have been incorporated and brought into these AI models. And what these AI models could do is they could perpetuate that bias and they could compound it, they could magnify it significantly, giving our children a very skewed interpretation of the world. And and that's something that I'm looking at, what can be done to mitigate and address these biases that may be present.
Because this is coming from the tech industry, and we've had this conversation on Insight that when you look at like Silicon Valley, there's a lack of diversity in Silicon Valley. And so I would imagine that the people that are creating these systems and these tools, maybe there are collective blind spots since the people who are creating them aren't necessarily reflective of the diversity of the users.
Yes, it's a great point, Vicky, and I agree with you. There could be some of these blind spots that could just not be intentional. It could just be something that people may have overlooked it. And but I think there needs to be a more collective discussion where we also involve folks from, let's say, socio-cultural aspects to step in. It could be anthropologists that stepping in that could provide more insight what these blind spots potentially can be and what can be done to address them moving forward.
When it comes to your specific study, you launched this summer. How did it come about and how long will it last?
So the study actually started in the second or third, sorry, it was in the third week of July of this summer. And it's actually being funded from Center of California Studies here at Sacramento State. And I'm hoping that by February, middle of February of next year is when I should have this completed. And I should have some findings that could be very useful for the state of California and for the policymakers in the state of California in knowing what are some of the best practices for integrating AI into a children's life that is safe and beneficial.
Children or youth? I mean, that's a pretty
Yeah,
broad age
it
range.
is.
Are there specific
Yeah.
age ranges that you're looking at?
So right now I'm actually looking at everybody that happens here right from early childhood education right up to university. So there's a broad spectrum that I'm looking at. And my hope is that there could be certain impacts, effects of AI that could be more profound on certain age groups and not so much on other age groups. And that's one of the reasons why I've kept the definition of children really wide and spectrum to see if that could have an impact on certain age groups more profoundly.
And I know you're just in the thick of researching, but have
Yeah.
you found anything surprising that you can share with us about what you've discovered along the way?
Yeah. One of the things that really got my attention was this idea. There was a study conducted that talked about using a chatbot for reading purposes for elementary kids. And what got me excited when I was reading this paper was, just think of a scenario. You're a teacher sitting in a classroom of, let's say, 50 elementary kids, and each kid has a very different and a varied interest in reading. And the teacher would like to engage in some kind of a discussion. And but because there's only one teacher, it's difficult for a teacher to read 50 different books here because everybody has different interests. But now what the study did was they said, all right, let's have a chatbot that is trained on each one of these 50 different books that children could potentially pick from. And they had these elementary kids actually engage in a discussion with the chatbot as they were reading the book. And the chatbot could provide some hints. They could provide some feedback about the story, about the characters, about the protagonist. And what the study highlighted was that certain students that could be very shy, or maybe a little bit more reluctant in reading, they were actually encouraged to read that book and get it to completion because they were interacting with the chatbot and they didn't feel a social stigma or some kind of a where they were being judged by the peers or the teacher based on the questions that they would raise. And I felt that was really interesting. It was just that a study was done over a period of 3 months. So there's definitely some more longer longitudinal study required to see the effect of this over a long period of time. But I found that it's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and you bring up an important point. This was a short-term
Yeah.
study. What you're currently conducting is a short-term study. What are the challenges of having longer-term work looking into these impacts and the unknowns, the questions that we don't have answers for currently?
Yeah, and again, it's a very great question, Vicky. Thank you for raising that. So one of the challenges for doing a long-term study is, well, first of all, there is this idea of getting a parental consent from parents. And, a long-term study would require perhaps over many years from the child being in early childhood up to perhaps going to middle school. And just that long time frame is something difficult for a parent and a family to adhere to stick to. And sometimes families move, they move to a different state, a different city, which would also mean that a study might get interrupted on that occasion. But there's also a more important aspect, which is we still don't understand the long-term effects of AI on children's social, cognitive, and emotional well-being. And what parents may be concerned about is if there's some negative implications, would that mean that the child would actually be exposed to those negative aspects if they were to go and be participating in the study here? And that could also be something that could deter them from participating here.
So given that there are these unknowns that we don't really know the long-term impacts, you yourself, you're a parent, you have two kids, you know, how do you recommend parents like yourself go about, or adults, just adults who care about children, go about kind of monitoring and managing the use of smartphones and AI for children today, given the unknowns?
Right. So one of the things I've been doing with my older child is, you know, as he's passively consuming content, digital content, one of the things I want to do is I've been having this dialogue with him where I try to explain to him, okay, here's what AI is, here's what it can do, but also a little bit more of a bigger theme where the dialogue happens to be on the idea of what are the more broader consequences of AI on our society. And I think the kind of the ethics aspect to it, the ethical consideration aspect to it is something that was, at least when I look at just in my family or the way I was brought up, was significantly absent. And I think that's something that takes a more prominent aspect moving forward. And I think that's important. That's something that our children should be engaged with, the ethics aspect of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, because I mean, some argue it's here to stay. Would you join that that belief as well?
Yeah, I would actually agree on that, Vicky. It's just the AI is going to be there. It's not something that we can ignore. But I think what we can do is, as policymakers, as educators, as parents, and as consumers of AI, we can probably come up with some kind of a constraint that allows AI to maneuver within appropriate bounds, and it doesn't just do things that can be detrimental to us as humans. So I think those bounds need to be established, and the time to do that is now. You know, with all the talk about ChatGPT and AI that is coming to mainstream.
You know, I want to fast forward to, you know, February of 2024 when your research is complete. What hands would you like this research to go into for people who have a seat at the table and can actually shape policy?
Yeah, so I'm already in talks right now with a legislative assistant in the state of California, and you know, she's one of the individuals that actually funded my study, and so my hope is that you know, she and the legislature that she represents would use the information that I provide them, and I'm sure they will be at some point, because the feedback I've been receiving from them has been absolutely very, very nice. They have been supportive, and I hope that some of these policy recommendations would eventually trickle down and become part of the new policies the state of California will be developing in the future.
Finally, is this the only research that you're doing, or is there going to be more studies in the future?
Yeah, so one of the other research projects that I'm working on right now, and I just submitted a grant to NSF, and I hope to hear back in March or April of next year, is I'm looking at this idea where we have a lot of underrepresented communities in computer science. And, you know, we have these high schools that are predominantly, again, underrepresented. And we have educators teaching them computer science. And I just feel that there needs to be an approach, an equitable intervention that I can provide these high school educators that are doing a phenomenal job with getting them well-versed in the latest of computer science and CS literacy. And I want to help them develop their curriculum and put an entire proposal together. And I'm hoping that if this were to go through in March or April of next year, I'll be able to get them over to Chico State. And over a two-year time period, I would be happy to help all these high school educators redesign the CS curriculum that's more in line and have their students become competitive with other schools in California.
Abbas, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Vicky. Thank you so much.
Dr. Abbas Adarwala is an associate professor of computer science at Chico State and the lead author of a new study looking at the impacts of AI on children. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.